Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That is why he broke them with hard labor, and they fell, and no one was there to help them. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for all the wonderful things he has done for them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze and he cut apart their bars of iron. May the Lord add a blessing to his word.
All right. How you doing this Resurrection Day? Resurrection Sunday. Amen. You know, I just want to say, even though we do, you know, we have the Easter egg hunt and all that, and after the service we'll be doing that, and we think it's a lot of fun for the kids, and we get that, but we're not here to celebrate Easter bunnies and any of that kind of stuff. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, you know, and we can appreciate Easter bunnies and certainly chocolates and all the things that come with that, but our heart is to really recognize and celebrate what Jesus has done for us. So, So I'd like to just start off this morning. I got a little story. Actually, it's supposed to be a joke. So we'll see how it goes. So one Easter, a priest and a taxi driver, they both died and went to heaven. And St. Peter was at the pearly gates. He was waiting for them. Come with me, said St. Peter to the taxi driver. And the taxi driver did as he was told and followed St. Peter to the huge mansion. This thing was humongous. It had everything you could imagine, from a bowling alley to an Olympic-sized pool. Oh, wow. Thank you, said the taxi driver. Next, St. Peter led the priest to a rough, run-down old little shack with a bunk bed and a little teeny, you know, those old little teeny television sets right inside. And the priest said, wait, I think you must be a little mixed up. Shouldn't I be the one who gets the mansion? After all, I was a priest and went to church every day and I preached God's word. Yes, that's true, St. Peter rejoins. But during your Easter sermons, people slept. When the taxi driver drove, everyone prayed. Now, I say that in the hopes that maybe I'll be a little more like the taxi driver and not quite like the priest, but we'll see how it goes. All right? So, but I think it's going to be good. I'm excited. I'm going to be asking a young man to come up here towards the end of this message to share his testimony, and I'm looking forward to that. I'll introduce him in a few moments. But today is Easter Sunday, right? The Resurrection Day, the day that's why we're here. A day when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today is also the first day in what's going to be a series of messages over the next 6 weeks. And the series is called The Gift of Being Yourself, Becoming the Person God Created You to Be. Did you catch that? Becoming the Person God Created You to Be. The Gift of Being Yourself. Now, I think sometimes we get a little nervous. Some Christians get nervous when we talk about ourselves and about, you know, living into our full potential. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. But let me just ask you, is there a connection between these two ideas? The idea of Jesus' resurrection and discovering who we were created to be. I believe that there is. Before I go any further, I also just want to mention quickly, because I'm really careful to do this when I take something from someone else's material. So a lot of the sermon series, not all of it, in fact this one hardly at all, but is based on a book by David Benner. called The Gift of Being Yourself. He's got a different tag to it. But just want to just make that clear that throughout the whole series is kind of loosely based on the writings of David Banner. So what is the connection between the resurrection of Jesus and discovering and living into the person God created you to be? What's the connection? Well, to state this as simply as possible, I'll just say the following. All of us have been born into a world of brokenness and death. Now, I think it would be difficult for any of us to deny that. If you look out at the world today, isn't that what you don't? I mean, you know, there's a lot of bad news out there. There's things happening all over the world, possibly in your own families and even in your own heart, that are hurtful or painful, or we see people dying, all kinds of things. I mean, I could just go back a week in the news and we could highlight numerous stories that you and I have read and heard of that really reveal the brokenness that exists in our world today. Since the original sin of Adam and Eve, the earth has been anything but paradise. Isn't that right? Come on. I mean, we have to acknowledge this. If we don't acknowledge the reality of our brokenness, we'll never come to really understand the life that is offered to us in Jesus Christ. So amid all this stuff, you know, living in not paradise, we struggle. I think all of us do to some degree. We all struggle with who we are. And what is our purpose in life? Basic questions, I know. But I remember as a 20-year-old really coming to this place of, who am I? What is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing here? Why am I here? And much of my struggle during that time was with an incredible sense of not knowing who I was and having no sense of purpose for being here. I felt lost. I felt lost. We also wrestle with things like how we look. What do others think of us? What are we going to accomplish in this life? In fact, we endure plastic surgeries, engage in the rat race of accumulating more stuff, or we give ourselves over to sensual pleasures, all in a vain effort to validate who we are. In fact, a lot of times we do things, I think, not all of us, but there's, you know, I see some things and it's like people are just screaming out, I'm here, recognize me, pay attention to me. Kind of like that phone, I'm here, answer me. You got to have a lot of segues for phones, right? You got to be able to do something with phones. Okay. All right, anyway. I think many of us grow so weary of this battle, this race, this, you know, or we just give up. You know, we come to this place, I'll never be considered beautiful, or I'll never be a big time athlete, or I don't think I'm ever going to make $1 million. And so all these things that maybe we thought we were to strive for, many grow so weary that they just throw in the towel. And we see this all around us as well. I just walk down the railroad cut and I see just multitudes of people that for one reason or another have just really pretty much just cast it in. They've just said, I'm done. I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. Others, you know, give themselves over to turn to drugs and alcohol to deaden the pain. But at the root of all this is the battle with ourselves and ultimately the battle with God. The psalm that was read earlier when I first gave my life over to Christ, this psalm really spoke to me. It spoke to where I was and where God had brought me. So I'm going to just read it again. It said, some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Now I understand there's a physical wilderness that you could look at here, but I'm thinking in my own life, it was a spiritual wilderness. I felt lost and homeless. I felt alone amongst hundreds of thousands of people in a city. And I just was wandering about. I was looking for something and never finding it. And I tried all kinds of different things in that effort. And then I came to a point in my life where I said, Lord, help! As it says here in the psalm, they cried in their trouble, and He rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for His great love and for the wonderful things He has done for them, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Hallelujah! I remember the day when I said, Lord, help! And when God met me in that moment, in that point in time, and somehow by the grace of God, my eyes were opened to the grace and the love and the mercy of God, and I felt my heart washed clean as I just confessed my need for God and just cried out from the bottom of my heart. And I can say to you that from that day forward, it has not been easy, or it's, you know, there's been many challenges that have come up, many struggles that I've had, but God has led me to a place of safety. He has brought me to a city whose builder and maker is God. I've experienced His love. And I've been blessed. And I'm grateful. There was a transformation. I started in that moment to become the person that God created me to be. And I remember even when the guy was speaking, I was at these special meetings at this church, and what captured my heart in that moment was he said, all your life you have wondered who you are. All your life you've been striving and doing whatever you're doing, and you've known that you're not living and experiencing all that you were created to be. And he said, Jesus Christ died for you so that you could become the person God created you to be. And that message resonated with me. I don't know if it resonates with you. It resonated with me. So much so that I stepped out from amongst 10 of my friends, none of the others who went forward, and I said, I want that. I want that. And my life was changed. The psalm goes on and says, some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. And that is why He broke them with hard labor. They fell and no one was there to help them. Which that may sound mean of God to break us with hard labor or to cause us to fall. But what happens when they fall? What do they do? What do they say in the psalm?
Lord, help.
Oh, it's not up there. Lord, help! Lord, help! And then what does God do? They cried in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Another thing I battled with before in that time as I was coming to Christ was with depression. I just felt like I was just in darkness and just like a cloud was over me. And I still remember the day and God lifting that gloom from my heart. And the darkness being pushed aside. Now, have I struggled with moments of darkness since then? Yes, I have. Have there been times when I still felt kind of caught in the gloom? Yeah. Even as a Christian. But I'll tell you what, at least I know where to go to get out of that. At least I know who to call on. And to trust that eventually, no matter, that at some point, somehow, some way, God is going to lift me out of that. And He has many times over in my life. Hallelujah. I'm standing here before you today to say there is no greater joy than to become the person God created you to be. If you read through the rest of the psalm, it's just kind of story after story, different examples and situations of people who were not who God created them to be, who became who God created them to be when they cried out to the Lord. And as we move through this sermon series, I want to make it clear that we can only discover who we are in the light of knowing who God is. You see, today, I find many, even a lot of us who are Christians, we look to things like self-help books and we read all this stuff basically depending on ourselves to feel better about ourselves. You get what I'm saying? Like if you just do this and that, or just do this and that, or drink this or that, or wear this or that, you know, or if you just follow these, you know, seven easy steps, then you're going to feel good about yourself, essentially. There's a tendency that we have as human beings to turn within ourselves to find ourselves. But I think Jesus presents something completely different. Because he says, the more you look into yourself, and maybe I should just speak for me. I won't speak for you. The more I looked into myself, the worse things got. The more I turned into myself to try to figure out myself, my life I just got more and more lost in myself. And I was a sinking ship. So I'm just going to speak for myself. In fact, one of the most amazing things that happened when I turned my life over to Christ, I realized that for at least a couple of years probably, while I was doing all kinds of drugs and all this kind of stuff, that I virtually did not even see people around me. Seriously. I mean, I interacted with them. I had a girlfriend or two or whatever. But I did not really connect with them in any meaningful way. I had so turned within myself, trying to find myself, that I was just getting more and more lost. And what happened again on the day that I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ is, and God lifted my head in more ways than one, and not only to, first of all, begin to see and recognize and try to grow in my relationship with God, but as I began to grow in that relationship with God, I started to become the person God created me to be. Are you with me? And my eyes were, and all of a sudden there was all these people around me. People that were valued and loved by God. People that God was calling me to love and reach out. I mean, really love. It's amazing. You see, the power of the resurrection is this. It is an invitation into a new life. It's an invitation to become everything God created you to be. Now, oftentimes, I think as Christians, and there's good to this, but we tend to dwell upon our need to die to ourselves. Okay? And there we do. You don't come to Sunday without Friday, right? What do we celebrate on Friday? The death of Christ. And we have to go on that journey as well, where we lay down our lives for God. But the thing is, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is not death. The end all actually is not, now this, just hang with me here, but the end all is actually not the cross. The end all is the resurrection. The fact that Jesus didn't stay dead. And so you have an invitation as well. Yes, the invitation is to die to yourself. To give up our selfish ways, going our way. But the real invitation is to life. To life, to love, to joy, to peace. That is the invitation of God. That is the resurrection message. That is what we celebrate here. We celebrate life and life abundantly. We celebrate all that God has uniquely created you to be and me to be and you to be and you to be. We celebrate that in all of its diversity. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul, even in his letter to Romans, said, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. So let me just say this, because it's kind of this is really one big introduction to the series that we're going to do. What we're going to be looking at over the next 5 weeks now is, what does it look like to live? What does it look like to be alive, to live, to be the person God created you to be? What does that look like? How do we get there? I'll just say it again. I honestly believe that we'll never discover who we truly are and come to enjoy the gift of what it is to be yourself outside of the context of our relationship with God. The two go together like a hand in a glove. I believe that this journey even, and some people have a hard time talking about this, but in the Christian circles, but I believe this journey is vital to our existence as human beings. Because if we truly find God, we find ourselves. If we truly find God, we find ourselves. It's not about finding ourselves so we can find God. We find God, or God finds us, and we find ourselves. And we see this played over and over in Scripture. Just really quickly before I call Julio up here. Think of Moses. Think of who Moses was before. He grew up in Egypt. He was a prince in Egypt. He had all the wealth, everything that he could possibly desire on this earth, and he was unsatisfied with that. He was. He went out and he recognized, and you know, people fighting, one kill anyway. He ended up killing somebody to protect one of the Hebrews. And then he ends up out in the wilderness, very similar to our Psalm story, and he has an encounter with God. And in that encounter, he was also the great Moses. He could hardly talk, and his life was changed. And Moses became one of the greatest figures in the Bible. You think about, just really quickly, you know, I think of Isaiah, the prophet. Had an encounter with God. You can go look at it later in Isaiah 6. And in that encounter, Isaiah has an incredible realization of who he is. And at first, his realization is on the downside. He says, whoa! As he's in the glory of God, whoa, I am a sinner. I am a man of unclean lips. But God didn't leave him there. That's a good realization, by the way, to realize who you really are. But then God came and touched him. Said, no, your sins are forgiven. And I cleanse you. And then he heard the call of God to become a prophet. It's a really short, cut down version of that story. But do you see what I'm trying to communicate here? How did Isaiah discover his calling in life? Come on, it's okay to talk. You can do it. How did Isaiah discover who he was and what his purpose in life was? What did it come out of? It came from God, but a little more specifically, an encounter with God. An encounter with the living God. He was changed. This morning, we have a young man, because you're probably sitting there going, is he ever going to end? But we have a young man here. His name is Julio. And it's been a pleasure for me to meet Julio. I've met him before. And then I've met him after. And he's Pastor Jose and Maria's son. And I'm going to let him tell his own story. But the reason I've asked him to share his story with you today is because this is a young man who's had an encounter with God. And he is on the journey now to becoming the man God created him to be. So, Julio, can you come on up here? Let's welcome him as he comes.
Well, today, Pastor Kelly came up to me like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and asked me if I could share my story. Of course, I wasn't going to say no, right? but at the same time, I asked God to give me the strength to speak. And at first, I was like, what do I say, Lord? You know, but God came and touched me, and he said, say what you used to be and say what you are now. Well, what I used to be a very hardcore gang member. At the age of 13, I left my house. My parents, at the time, couldn't deal with me. I didn't care about anything. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about nothing. I mean, of course, my parents spoke to me about God, and they told me that that I needed Jesus and all that, you know, like pretty much a lot of our children we tell, you know. But you know how we are rebellious, and some of us do listen, and some of us want to live our lives, right? Well, at the age of 13, I left my home, and I never looked back. At the age of 16, I got jumped into a gang. And make a story short, I also asked God, how do I turn 22? How do I say 22 years of destruction into 10 minutes, right? But anyways, the point is this: I'm gonna tell you about two occasions that are very important, and the two occasions that are very important are the ones that happened for me to come to God, which were the most important ones. The first one was 6 months ago, and in this case, and what I say, I please ask each and every one of you that I'm not glorifying what I used to be or glorifying what I did. I'm just speaking and letting you know what I used to be. And in this occasion, I was on my way to the store to buy me alcohol, to buy me a beer. And in this occasion, I was with one of my homies, what you want to call them. I was with one of my friends, and I always carried a gun on me, no matter where I went. Everywhere I went, I always carried a gun. And in this occasion, there was two individuals that came up to me and started, started problems. And in this occasion, I used to love to fight. I was always about fighting. I was always about that. That's who I used to be. That's what it was always about. And in this occasion, I ended up beating both of them up at the same time. I'm not glorifying what I used to do. I'm not glorifying what I'm just speaking of how I used to be into what I am now. And in this occasion, I ended up beating them so bad that they got sent to the hospital. But before that happened, there was a young lady which was with them, and told me, "Please stop." And this is how bad the devil has us when we're so wrapped up in the drugs, when we're so wrapped up in the alcohol, that the devil has us so tied up that in 1 minute, 1 second, our lives can change. And in this occasion, I grabbed my gun, and I cocked it back, and I pulled the trigger. And the gun was loaded, but the gun didn't go off. And I cocked it back again, and I pulled the trigger again, and the gun didn't go off. And so one of my friends was like, "Hey, man, stop." And mind you, there was a lot of witnesses, too. But anyways, I found out later, 3 days later, that this young lady was pregnant. Now I know that was the first occasion God was speaking to me. Now I know it was God's hand. I know that for a fact. In the second occasion, I was in jail. In jail is when God started talking to me. When he started touching my heart. Because I still didn't, even sometimes after things like that happen, we still don't see, you know what I mean? We still don't see the hand of God. We just think we get lucky, you know? But it wasn't, it was God. But in the second occasion, mind you, I'm not supposed to be here. I should be in prison for the rest of my life. I should be dead. In the second occasion, I just got out of jail. I was 2 days out of jail, and I was on the streets. I didn't care, you know. I didn't care about nothing or nobody. And in this occasion, one of my friends, that was supposedly my friend, let me stay in one of his trailers. Well, I didn't know that this friend of mine was setting me up. And in this trailer, as I was staying in this trailer that night, mind you, I was high. I was always on drugs. I was always on alcohol. That night, I finally had it. Like Pastor Kelly was saying, man, when you're out there like that, you're void. You're empty. You have no meaning, you know, because that's what the devil wants. I didn't care if I lived or died. I didn't care if I took life or they took my life. That's how it was. The worst part of a human being that can happen is if you lose your conscience. Once you lose your conscience, there's no turning back. And I was at that point. This is when I had an encounter with God. At that moment, when I was in that trailer, I finally had it. And I told the devil, "If you're real, show yourself. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for." So as I remember looking into that trailer, this trailer was set up So people can, this guy had it set up when whether you want to believe me or not, that's your choice. But this guy had it set up for people to be tortured, because that's what they're doing out there right now. Believe it or not, a lot of homeless people, a lot of people that don't have, they don't care about people, they're actually doing this, man. The devil ain't playing out there, but God ain't playing either. You know what I mean? God is real. And as this happened, I remember hearing a voice telling me, get out right now. Get out now. And as I was walking out, that trailer, there was a man coming around the corner with a gun. And I know he was coming to kill me. I know that's what he was coming to do. But God helped me that night. God spoke to me. You know, I know that I was high, I know it was whatever, but I know it was God. And in that moment, I remember after that, I still didn't want to listen. 3 to 4 days later after that is when I finally had it. I finally came to God and I said, I'm done. If it's true, if you're there, then come. Help me, because I can't do this anymore. My plan was to, I finally got acquitted of a case that I should have been in prison for. So see, God was already working in all this. And at the time, I finally had it and I came down and I said to God, you know what, if you're real, you know what, the crazy thing about it is we know he's real, but we still come down and ask him that, you know? You know, we ask him that, you know, and but he is, man. And as that started happening, God was already working in my life. And after those two occasions, and there's way more occasions than I can sit here and speak, but these are the most important ones that brought me to God. After this, I finally called my dad. And I told him, I said, I can't do this anymore. You know? My plan was to go to Washington, rob a bank, and go to Mexico. That was my plan. But God had another plan. God had another plan, you know? God was like, no. And that was still my plan. Even after I called my dad, I was just like, I'm just going to go stay with him a couple of days. I'm going to get sobered up. And I had a stolen car, and that was my plan. But my dad's like, and that night, I remember that night, I'm like, I'm going to wait for them to go to sleep, and I'm going to leave. Well, that night, I passed out. I ended up passing out that night, and I woke up the next day, and my dad took me to a place called Victory Outreach, which was a place that God started. That's where God finally started speaking to me, and in that place is where I finally surrendered my life to Christ. And in that place, I give him praise and the glory. And in that place is when I, even in the beginning of being in that place, we still have our own plans, you know? But God has his own plan. And in that place is when God is when I really truly surrendered my, it's when I started realizing and started seeing, now that I was sober, now that I was finally clean, is when I started seeing everything that happened. Everything from the beginning. The 22 years of destruction that I was, let me tell you something, when the devil gives you power, man, it's something like, it's a high, you know, that you don't even understand. But when Jesus comes to your life, it's an even bigger high, man. Jesus Christ, when he saved me, man, when I finally surrendered my life to Christ, like Pastor Kelly said, it's an unexpected, you can't explain the peace that you have, man. You can't explain the I don't have to watch my back anymore, man. I don't have to. I can be in peace. And above all that, now that I'm out, and in the month and a half that I've been out, God has done so many things. He's restored my relationship with my parents that I've never had. My daughter's here. My little girl. I'm trying to walk her, you know, walking her in the way of Christ. I got a union job, man. You know, I mean, God is good. God is amazing, and I just want to tell you guys, each and every one of you, that God, Jesus Christ, is good. And he's alive, man. He's alive today. He's alive forever. And thank you, Pastor Kelly, for giving me the opportunity. And God bless each and every one of you guys.
Again, the reason, there's lots of reasons why. Just to hear a testimony like that is always encouraging, I think, and good for us to actually hear you know, of recent. You know, I can tell my testimony of you, he's an old guy, that happened 30 years ago. No, this is a young man. You know, and you heard his story. And this is what we're talking about, though. This is Resurrection Sunday. And I really wanted to give you more than just a nice little service and an Easter egg hunt. Julio, you did a great job, man.
Amen.
So thank you. Yeah.
Amen.
Let me just conclude with just be a couple minutes, and then we'll go into a time of worship, and then there'll be the egg hunt and stuff after that. But let me just say this. Being yourself would not make any sense whatsoever if your uniqueness was not of immense value to God. This whole idea of talking about becoming the person God created you to be, yes, I want you to discover who God created you to be. But more importantly even than that, is that you, each one of you in this room, are unique. And your uniqueness and the way God created you is of immense value to God. God values who you are. God values the gifts that He gave you. God values the personality that you have. Amen. God values you. You should never be tempted to think that growing in Christ or in Christ's likeness or to give yourself over to, you know, to God reduces your uniqueness. It increases it. You fully become who you are. The truth is, as we become more and more like Christ, we become more uniquely our own true self. And this is what God desires for you. This is God's heart for you. So in the series that we're going to do, we're going to be looking at that. What does it mean to really know God? And how that transforms and impacts our understanding of ourselves? Sorry, I'm having problems here. But we're then going to look at what it means to truly know ourselves. We're going to talk a bit about the false self. That part of ourselves that does need to die. But then we're going to conclude by looking at what we are called to become. To become the true self that God has uniquely created us to be. I just want to make one more thing clear before I wrap this up. We would love to have you enter into that journey and be a part of our fellowship here. We would love that. We would love to share in that journey with you. But I'm not, my invitation, I just want to make this clear, hopefully you'll understand me. My invitation is not just to become a part of this church. My invitation to you is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's my invitation. Would we love to have you here and become a part and share in that journey with you? Absolutely, we would. But I'm not trying to get you to join our particular expression of Christianity. I'm not trying to get you to think, you know, like we do. My invitation to you, the beginning point, is Jesus. And that's who I'm inviting you today to fully give yourself to the person of Jesus. And let God then begin God's work in your life to become the person He created you to be. That's really important to me that you know that. Because I don't want just to make you another church person. That's not my heart for you at all. My heart is for you to become the person God created you to be. To find the joy of what it is to be right in your heart with your Creator. The one who knit you and formed you while you were still in your mother's womb. So that's the invitation today. The invitation to you. As the worship team would just come on forward. The invitation to you is that today could be the day of salvation. Today could be the day that you yield and fully surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Today could be the first day in the in the rest of your life. Today could be the day that you start the journey of becoming the person God created you to be. And so, as we're here and as we're kind of getting set up here, I know that, you know, pay no attention to if you're here today and you may say to yourself, well, man, I wasn't, you know, I've never tried to kill somebody or, you know, I've never done anything. Man, Julio, he really did need Jesus, you know. Yeah, I could see that. But all of us in this room need to give our hearts and lives to the Lord. And so that's the invitation I extend. And if you're here today, and you just say, maybe for some it seems corny, but there's something about movements, whether it's the lifting of a hand or coming forward to pray while we're in worship. You know, the invitation to you, or what I want to ask you to do, sorry, is to, if that's you today, if you're saying, I want to begin this journey. I want to become the person that God created me to be. Would you just lift your hand up in the air? Say, I want to become the person God created me to be. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Just so blessed by the response and you know, I know that even in this journey that we do together, we may not see everything the same. But I do invite you to discover, I'll say it this way, I'm sorry. We would love to be a part of that journey with you. Because at the center of it all is Jesus. We can agree about Jesus. We can focus on the person of Christ and grow together in our relationship with Him and with each other. God, I just pray. My heart cries out. That each person that has lifted their hand, and for those even who maybe didn't but wanted to, or others who have already made that commitment, Lord God, we want to just become the people you created us to be. We want to live our lives with a sense of purpose and meaning. We want to grow in our understanding of how much you love us and how that your love transforms our life, our way of thinking. God, where we can be at peace with who we are. God, where we can be at peace even with others around us. And most importantly, God, we can be at peace with you. Oh, God, hear my cry. Work in our hearts and lives today. I ask in Jesus' name.